So as I was reading and studying, and probably if you've listened to the podcast, you also know how I do all of that, right? But I go and I check out books and then I start reading about things, and then the commentators will say things that you never really even notice. And one of the things that the commentators kept saying is how smart Rahab was. They kept talking about she was so clever, and there's even evidence of this, like in verse 14, when she goes up to see the spies on the roof and they're like, our lives for your life. And they know, like right then, that she's saved their lives. But also some of the commentators are like, listen, they're bargaining with her because they know she's got them. And they talked a lot about that they're up on this roof. The king's men have just come to try to capture them. She sends the king's men away. And then she goes up at night and she says, listen, make a deal with me and I'll let you go, because they're stuck up there. And as I'm reading about this, then it says, like in verse 15, she lets them down after they make this deal, right? And they say, okay, you know, we'll spare your life if you spare ours, or because you spared ours, either one. She lets them down through, this is verse 15. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was a part of the city wall. And for me, when I'm studying this, I could not picture this in my brain at all. I am a visual person, and if you ask my husband, it is so annoying. So like if we want to rearrange a room, I can't like walk in and visualize it. We have to rearrange the whole thing, and then I'm like, no, I don't like that. So I'm very visual. So I was trying, as I'm studying, I'm like, I don't understand, what does this look like? I don't understand. So I start to Google, of course, like what do the Jericho city walls look like? What was Rahab's house like? How was it on the city wall? It made no sense to me. If you do that, it brings up all sorts of archaeological studies. And I mean, there have been many, many people that have gone to the site of Jericho, and they've gone and done archaeological studies on it over the years, many, many. The site of ancient Jericho, it's still there. There is a modern city of Jericho. It's about a mile south of the ancient ruins that are still there. And there have been all of these archaeological expeditions that have gone there. And from these, they've tried to reconstruct drawings of what the city might have looked like. So I brought a visual aid if Raul can make it. And otherwise, I'll describe it. But if it goes up there, it may not. The city of Jericho was kind of up on a hill a little bit. And their city was built on this hill. And then there was a wall around it. And then there was almost like they call it a rampart, or I don't know. There's a hill outside of the city wall, and then there's another wall. So there's actually two walls around the city of Jericho. There's one, and then just a little bit down the hill, there's another, like a retaining wall, and then a little ditch under that. So this city was hard to get into, right? You have to go through, you have to go up a ditch, you got to go through a wall, then you have to go in between the walls, kind of up a hill like this, and then you have to get into the second wall to get inside the city where the king lived, where most people lived. But in between those walls, there were houses. And often those houses, they've found in the archaeological digs, the houses have very thin brick walls. They're not as fortified. They think it's where the poorest people of the city would live. They think almost certainly that's where Rahab lived. And it's what the Bible talks about, that she lived on this wall. So her house was against the outer wall. So if these king's men had come up and they had said, and she said, you know what, they left before, there, this is kind of what it looks like. So if you go to the first one, Raul, see how there's two walls, and in between the walls there would be houses like that. This is a hard city to get into. And so off the spies just came to her house, which was right on the outer edges. Not only that, now she's got them there, and now these king's men are looking for them. They're looking for them inside the city, but she was, they think, probably on that north wall up there. That's where the poorest probably lived. And she could just lower them outside and they could run to the hills and they could be safe. Now, I just wanted to share with y'all, because I thought it was so interesting. If you go to the second picture, I want Raul to show that too. Because you'll see that Jericho, they think it looked like that, where there's this big hill that they have to go up in between the two, right? But all these archaeological studies, I got really interested and I got into them. And I was sitting at home sick. I had nothing to do. So this is really fun. I'm just going to read all about this. So cool, some of the things they found. One of them was when they did the archaeological studies, many of them actually will find this. There are so many differing interpretations of the archaeological studies. Some people saying the Bible can't be true, the Bible has to be true. That doesn't matter. But because that's interpretation. But what they did find is they found these jars that were under some soot and ash. There was evidence that the city had been burned, for sure, right? There was evidence that the city had been burned. There's soot, ash, other things that kept things intact. And underneath those, they found these jars of grain. The jars were full, and the grain was often burned. Now, that's really interesting because in a city like Jericho, the way that a city like Jericho would fall is one of two ways. One, there would be a huge siege, and immediately the city would fall. And then, often, armies would come in, and they would take everything, especially the grain. Their soldiers needed it. Or the other thing that could happen is you surround the city walls and you starve them out. You don't let anything in or out. So all the grain would have been gone if Jericho had fallen in that way. So if Jericho had fallen and it had taken a long time, there would be no grain in those jars. But if Jericho had fallen by a siege where the army was not mandated or commanded to not take anything, that grain would have been gone. So it was just a really interesting little tidbit. And there was another interesting little tidbit that there was evidence that they, that if you noticed how the walls kind of, there was one up here and one down here, and there's evidence that they see that the walls fell outward whenever they fell. There is evidence that the walls fell. They think lots of reasons behind that, but earthquakes are in the region, other things, but the walls fell outward. And what happened when they fell outward is they formed almost a ramp, so that it was easy for the Israelites to get up into the city and be able to take it, which was really cool. But as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, wait, the walls fell down. They fell down outward. I don't understand. Rahab was on the wall, like her house was on the city wall. Well, this is the most interesting study for me. And then when the Germans went and excavated Jericho in 1907, between 1907 and 1909, they found a portion of the wall on the north side that never fell. It's so cool. I know, me too. I was like, what? And that's where the houses are the thinnest, and they think the poorest of the poorest live. And they think probably Rahab could have lived there. I just thought it was really, all this information was so cool. But what it made me start thinking about that I wanted to share with you all, and actually when I was telling Jan about this, she was like, that's exactly how our lives work. We have these walls that we've built, and sometimes God tears down those walls, right? He just tears them down. He says, nope. Sometimes he leaves them up, but it's not ours to decide. And it was just a reminder to me. This whole study, actually, in my group that I've been studying with, often there's another mom in there, and she and I both are always like, okay, wait. Is this one of those times where I'm being like Sarah, and I'm like going and doing something for God when he said he would do it? Or is this a time when I'm supposed to do something? And it's, you know, you can get paralyzed in, am I supposed to do something right now, or am I supposed to wait for God to work? And this little piece of information where the wall fell down, and when Jan said that, like, well, sometimes God takes down walls and sometimes God doesn't. This whole study has been a reminder of me to wait and to ask God and to say, wait, is this a time you want me to act, or is this a time that you're gonna go before me and you're gonna tear down this wall and you're gonna keep it up? Anyway, that's all. I just had a little, you know, tidbit to share with y'all, but I've really, really enjoyed studying these women of the Bible in this lesson, and I hope that today will be no different for y'all. So we're going to pray before we go. Dear God, I pray for all of us that we will be reminded by this lesson that you are our protector, you are our provider, and you are our wisdom, that when we don't know which walls in our lives are to stand and which walls in our lives are to come down, that you provide all of that. We don't even need to know because you've got it all taken care of. I thank you for the women in this room and the ways that you work in their lives. And I ask that you will bless this study time today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.